Hey, everybody. Welcome to Tall But True. I'm your host, Ben Bailey, here with my co-host and friend,
DC Benny.
I always throw that to you in a weird way.
Yeah.
My co-host and friend, say your name now. And you're like, DC Benny.
Well, we're getting the hang of it. We cobbled this thing together and we're getting the hang of it now.
Yeah, we're kind of finding our groove.
Yeah,
we've had some great episodes with wide array of different guests.
Yeah, man.
Comedians, actors, regular dudes, you know, my neighbor.
Kind of shaking it up today a little bit with the guests going a new route.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's still the same common thread, people that I know, who I call. I'm like, hey, you want to be on my show? Luckily, they seem to be happy to do it most of the time. Our next guest, the guy that's going to be on the show with us today, is no exception to the crazy, no-pattern guest, except that I know them rule. He is our first sea captain. He is Captain Sig Hansen of the Northwestern, sea captain / reality TV star from Deadliest Catch.
That show's, that's good stuff, man.
It's a big show. It's a big show. And I got to host a thing called After the Catch, where they sit around a table and they talk about what's happened. And so I got to know all these guys through it, and they're great dudes. Some of my favorite guys I've ever met. Huh. And they all have great stories. But I was like, Sig, we're not going to talk about at sea. Let's talk about some stuff that happened to you on land. So we're going to be talking about that.
I'm sure he was psyched, too.
He was like, oh, yeah, he's totally psyched. And he's like, let's do being young and stupid and crazy and partying and, like,
reckless.
And just being young and dumb and you know. So we're calling it Life in the Fast Lane.
Fantastic.
Telling stories about being young and crazy. And our guest is Captain Sig Hansen. We'll be back right after this with Tall But True. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
What's up, Sigger? How you doing, man?
You're such a freaking geek. It says FaceTime audio. Just so you know, this is the first time I've used FaceTime audio, whatever the hell that is. God, you're a
He's ornery, man.
Nerd.
How am I a nerd? What are you talking about?
You're a nerd. What is this? I go, you and I talked yesterday. You want to do my show? I'll do your show. What is it? I don't know. Fine. And then you go, well, I said, can I use my home phone on a speaker? And you're like, no, that's not as clear as maybe FaceTime audio. Well, what the fuck is that?
It's what we're talking on right now, man. It's just like a phone call, but you can use Wi-Fi, and the signal's better, and the sound is good. You sound clear, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay?
We can definitely hear you.
You're a fucking nerd, number one. What generation are you, by
That's
the way?
Number three. You said that three times.
Are you like a Generation X?
How can
X
it be, still be number
or...
one? I'm
what
Generation
are you?
X,
generation,
you fucking sea
I
captain.
I want to be something. Are you Generation? Oh, look at me. I'm cute. What generation are you?
Sig, did you have a hard day today? Or like, what's like, going on, dude?
Yeah.
I'm Generation X.
I'm telling
X.
you, man. Okay, fine. I will accept the FaceTime audio, number one, on my iPhone.
Why is that an issue for you? I don't understand.
It's an issue because I don't get it. It's I don't get it. Why? What the hell? Why?
It's just another way to get on a conversation on a phone, man.
So is my profanity perfectly clear for you right now?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
oh, yeah, we can
clear.
Hear it.
Yeah, so you guys are
nerd.
Happy.
We were happy, and he started insulting me as soon as I got on the phone.
I anticipated this was going to get salty.
That's my friend DC Benny, by the way.
All I said was, what the fuck? What's wrong? I mean... Honey, how much do we pay for the home phone every goddamn month? Like $100 a month? So I pay $100 a month for a house phone, and then Den Bailey calls me on FaceTime.
He loves to call me by a slightly wrong name.
Yeah.
It's like the U.S. government's approach to dealing with terrorists. Just pronounce it a little bit different.
Dan
just to
Bailey.
Piss them off. What's up, Sink? Where are you? You're at home?
I'm at home. Actually, I got to be honest, okay? I was in Minneapolis. I just got home from fishing.
You just got in. How was the season, man? How was the haul?
It sucked ass. It was so bad.
That sucks.
It's so bad. But nevertheless, you know, we did our thing, and they're getting it done. And so I've been a good boy because I've been working. And I get home, and then I had an obligation to do one of those home shopping network programs. So that was on Evine.
Selling the deadliest crab on there. Yeah.
Right. So I go and I get home because I have other things going on as well, and it sucks. But I make it through the season, barely. I fly home. I go to Minneapolis to tape this thing, which was an obligation, and I love doing it because it's all about the fishery and the Alaskan products and whatnot. So I did that,
right?
And then I finally get home, and I had my first drink today. By the way, Den Bailey. So
this guy's been hitting it.
Yeah.
You've had one drink? No, but I'm telling you guys, it's like your time clock changes. And I think I got to sleep last night around 5 in the morning. I get up late afternoon, and I'm all messed up. And then my wife's like, "You're an idiot. Get in the hot tub." Because we live in Seattle. So actually, the sun is peeking through. And I took her advice, and I went out there. And because she's such a beautiful woman, she comes with this cocktail.
Nice.
And
it's early. Hi, Una. Hello, Una. How are you?
It's a good wife.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good, good. What happened? Sigur was being an idiot, so you told him to get in the hot tub? You spend a lot of time in there, huh, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
So what happened? You went and had a drink in the hot tub?
Like I was saying...
I love it. You never know which sink you're going to get.
Don't get him pissed off again, Ben.
He was pissed off when he answered the phone. All right.
I'm not pissed off. What do you mean? This is me.
Oh, no, it's fine.
So
it's fine.
I get in the hot tub, and I do my thing. Don't ask what that is. And the sun's peeking through. And, you know, she brought a cocktail, which was really nice. And, you know... We've been in Alaska since early January, and you know you don't drink on the boat, you don't do any baloney like that, and we're good boys. And so today I kind of faltered and slipped and fell, and here I am. And fuck you, Ben Daly. So
you got a couple of drinks in you. What are you drinking?
Norwegian champagne. It's vodka and cola.
Vodka and cola.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the story behind that?
what was the point? The point was
how Norwegian champagne came about.
So when we were kids, here's the story. So when we were kids, you know, you're 13, 14 years old, and I fished in Alaska, you know, for salmon and crab and stuff like that. I would skip school early and go up there and do my thing. And
Are you going out on the boat then? Or are you fishing from shore?
Yeah. What are you, fucking stupid? We would skip school.
No, just not a fisherman or a Norwegian, Sig.
It's like a Rickles, man.
I would fish Bristol Bay salmon at an early age, and I would fish actually St. Matthew's blue crab, which was a king crab around an island. So I'd go jump from there to there. Or if we went to the old country, I would fish there for cod, mackerel, herring, and so I'd get jobs over there. So your summer vacation, if you want to call it a vacation, was summer work. But I would skip out of school early every damn year, and you'd have a job, right? So when you did this, you always had money in your pocket, right? So now you're, think about it, you're 13, 14, 15, and you're working under the table. You got the money cash coming at you. And like in Norway, we would go from town to town. You would fish on these little boats, and then you would deliver along the coast. So we would deliver the fish, and then, you know, you take the night off, and then you go out early in the morning. So, you know, the captain, and there was just two of us, a guy by the name of Glenn Peterson and myself, for the summer, we would get paid under the table. And then he's like, oh, you know, go hit the town. Well, when you're a teenager, what are you going to do? You're going to go find a school dance. You're going to go find a pub. You're going to have fake ID. You're going to get in. You're going to have fun. So what we would do is you would buy what they called vodka, but it really wasn't. It was homemade brew. And then the only thing that you had to mix with was either a Coke or like a 7-Up. Right?
Right. Yep.
Because it's not like they had anything cool back then.
Dr. Pepper.
And so we ended up mixing all this homemade booze with the Coke. So that became the vodka Coke, and which we thought was vodka. And the true story behind all this is that, like, we would buy the booze, take it out on the boat, and then we found out later the guy that was selling us the booze was actually putting rat poison in the booze.
He didn't like you guys, or what was
Jesus, man. Why would he do
that? No, it's because when he put the rat poison in the booze and then you drank it and you're just a little kid and you thought you're all cool and all that and you're chasing women and whatever, and you never got laid because we were idiots. But you would get a hangover the next day. And so now you're going out, you're fishing or you're doing whatever and your head's just pounding. Well, you thought that you had a good buzz on because you had this awesome booze because it knocked your dick in the dirt, right? Do you understand?
I'm with you.
That rat poison buzz.
So you had a rat poison buzz and you think that it was the good stuff when in reality this guy was fucking poisoning you.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we kept buying that. And that's how. And then I remember.
And that became known as the
Norwegian champagne.
The Norwegian champagne.
Champagne is rat poison.
Right. Not just vodka and Coke, but rat poison.
Coke, arsenic.
Right.
And vodka.
And a little.
Or homemade, not actually vodka, but like homebrew.
With a herring rib.
Herring rib.
Yes.
Well, yeah, with the flavor of herring. That's right. Yeah.
Very nice.
So you go out and get into some adventures when this happened?
When you did.
Were drinking the cheap stuff with the rat poison. You go out and do what? What would you guys do? Light things on fire?
Did anybody ever die of the rat poison or get really sick?
No, they just get really sick, and they thought that they were getting their money's worth. That's the whole point.
This stuff is great. I feel like I'm going to die.
Yeah, like you throw up in the morning, and, oh, yeah, we got to go to work, and you keep pulling in your nets or whatever and your hooks, and then you'd throw up, and you thought, oh, yeah, that was awesome last
night.
That absinthe
is for pussies.
That was
pussies.
A great night.
Yeah.
Puked my guts out today. Who was drinking this with you? Was Edgar with you then?
Nah, he was a baby then. He's still a baby.
Wow. So you guys got in, you would go out and fish at a very young age, and then you'd have money in your pocket. Which,
you know,
like
what?
A 15-year-old kid who's got a couple grand or more in his pocket, that's kind of a dangerous, you know, possibly dangerous combination.
More than rat poison and, you know, soda.
You'd buy cars and stuff. Oh, he's segueing into my personal early life. What a sneaky little fucker.
We talked about it ahead of time. We didn't discuss you getting rip-roaring drunk before we did the interview.
Well, I'd like to talk about all the sexy women I had. But
that's
anyway,
fine.
We'll just skip that part.
You say it. Talk about whatever you like, dude.
You know, you did have a lot of them. I remember my old man told me, he said, you know what? And back then, obviously, there was no computers, none of that stuff, and no FaceTime, whatever the hell you're on.
FaceTime audio.
Audio. Fuck you. Anyway, so
charming.
So he's like, you know, you don't have to pay taxes. He goes, you know, if you know, because you were making money, and then I made money under the table too. She's like, you know, it's up to you. If you don't want to pay taxes, don't. He goes, but someday they'll come and get you.
Who said this? But
my old man.
Oh, wow.
So he's like, why? And he was pissed off at Uncle Sam because they kept raping him anyway for every dime. And it's like, you don't have to do it, but you know, do what your heart tells you. And so I did pay. And I made that decision, but he gave it to me. And that was an early, early age, you know.
That's a good decision. It's a well-made decision.
Well, but, you know, it's like when you're self-employed, it's a little different than these guys that work 9 to 5 and they get the, you know, the taxes taken out.
It's all deducted before they ever see it, yeah.
Yeah, I've never lived that life. I don't know what that is. I don't want to know what that is. You know, you got to, for us, you got to take care of yourself, and then you got to look to the future and have enough dough to take care of it, you know, like.
Make it last.
You have to, you know. And I got so many friends that you wouldn't believe that, you know, they thought the party would never end. And at an early age, it's like, oh, I made this much money. And, well, I'll just pay Uncle Sam next year. And then they go fishing. And then all of a sudden you have a bum season and you're sitting there with your dick in your hand. Go, what just happened?
Yeah,
right?
Now you're broke and you owe money. And,
Right. And half the money they snorted up their nose or they drank it or they bought fancy cars or whatever. Some woman stole it from them. And there you go. And now you're sitting there choking on your dick going, what just happened?
I want to hear all those stories.
Yeah.
What's the coolest car you ever bought or the first car you ever bought?
First car I bought, let me see, I was 14 and a half years old, and one of the fishermen in our community, so you know, the Seattle is the hub of the Alaskan fishing community, so everybody that pretty much bought boats and worked up there, they built them here in Seattle, and that's pretty much how it all started. And so one of them was driving around El Camino. And he's like, you want to buy my car? I said, yeah, you know, I'm going to be 16 pretty soon. I was 14 and a half.
And he's, I'm going to be 16 pretty soon in a year and a half.
I'm not kidding. And he sold it to me for $500. Now, I had already made money. And so I bought the car. And we worked on it and worked on it. And I would drive that car around here in the city before I had my driver's license. I mean, it was like...
Wow. Yeah.
It didn't matter. And so...
were you driving like a maniac, or are you just like kind of blending in and driving reasonably so you don't get noticed?
I was learning to drive like a maniac.
Okay.
That's a great car to do it in. It's like a sedan pickup truck mix.
Yeah, it's like
an El Camino.
With a pickup bed.
Right. And, you know, I mean, if you needed more traction, we'd throw sandbags in the back of it and then... you know, to get a little
so
more
traction. So you're racing. If you're looking for traction, right? Or are you talking about getting stuck in the snow?
We were learning at this time. Remember, this is pre-driver's license.
Okay.
Pre-Fast and the Furious.
Right.
Right. It's before this is when Vin Diesel had hair, okay?
Vin Diesel was like 6 when this was happening, I think.
Before he had muscles.
He was in a crib.
Yeah, right.
It was a great car. And then...
There's a fast car, right? The El Camino is supposed to be pretty fast.
Well, I like the 69 model. My buddy had one of those. And then they were really cool. But this was like a 77 or a 76 or whatever the hell it was. 70, I think it was 76. Anyway, piece of shit. But we got it cleaned up and try to rat it out. And I remember I sold it for like $2,200 back then. So new paint job, tires and wheels, all the good stuff, you know, and everything that I did. And a lot of the money that I put into that car was babysitting money, believe it or not. So I would work doing.
Wait, you're making money babysitting?
It's like a renaissance.
I did
man.
That.
You were a babysitter?
I did that when I was 11, 12. I would babysit everybody in the neighborhood and then made a lot of money. And you know what was the best thing about babysitting for Norwegian people?
What's that? The champagne?
Well, that's just one of the perks. But you know what the best deal was? Is that, so most of the guys that were, they were all fishermen and fishing families. So these guys would go out and party like you have no idea. So then you're watching two kids, three, five, whatever. And then they would come home. Well, now mom's all gooked up. Dad's all gooked up, right? So then, and they were making good money at the time. So then, you know, dad would throw me a lot of dough and say, oh, thanks for taking care of the kids. And then mama would drive me home, for example. And then she's all hammered and she's like, oh, did he pay you? Yeah, well, take this. I would double dip every time.
Get a bunch of cable knit sweaters.
I made more fucking money babysitting than you could shake a stick at. I'm not kidding. That's awesome. That didn't go into my college fund. That went into the car fund.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a great place to spend money when you're a young guy like that.
Yeah, man.
Getting a car, fixing it up. You put a stereo in there and everything and make
it. It's your rolling date machine, you know?
Yeah, it's your life. It's
calling
like,
card.
It's like it's everything. My first car was everything to me.
Mm. It's everything. It kind of shows, it portrays who you are. It's like, unless you live in L.A., because then you're, you know, just fucking psycho and you have to have a Maserati or something cool to portray what you're not, you know. Sorry, L.A., but that's how I see it.
There's a lot of pretty highfalutin automobiles in L.A., man.
Yeah.
Very showy stuff. Oh, you drive down the street.
Not a lot of Norwegians either.
It's amazing. And but really, that like the what you drive is what you're trying to be or what you're trying to portray. And like and I guess there's something to that. But as a teenager, it's a little different, you know.
Yeah.
It's like what you can afford and what you want to do. So anyway, LP.
Yeah, but it just means everything to you. You put everything into it. You clean it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jesus Christ, if you're a 30, 40-year-old something, what generation is that? X, Y, or Z, whatever they are. If you're, you know, it's like don't put all your money into your vehicle to portray that you're some pimpster because you're not.
Right. Yeah. You're a student.
Right.
Put the money in the bank, you idiot. You know, nobody cares what you drive. And if you can't get laid without Hot Wheels, go fuck yourself. That's my opinion.
So you guys, would race these cars? Did you ever race that El Camino?
The El Camino, because it just didn't have
fast?
No, it didn't have the horsepower. But I mean, it was a stepping stone. I got the money out of it, and I made a lot of money on that car. And then I bought a 69 Mach 1 Mustang. So when I got that, I really tricked that out. So that's, you know, now you're legitimately 16. You legitimately have a driver's license and you can legitimately fuck people up. And that's what I did.
Are we talking like stoplight races? Like whoever you're next to, you just like look at them and you're let's fucking do this.
Rev it.
Yeah, you know, like it's weird. Like when we talk about this, I'm thinking back. It's like I remember we would go like every weekend you would have these car clubs meet. You would have parties. You would go cruising. But I don't know if guys cruise anymore. But like you would go – like here in Seattle, you go to Lake City Way. You go up to Mukilteo. You go to the Speedway. And you would cruise. And like I swear to God – every high school that had any, you know, car guys in it, they would meet up and they would just throw their dicks around and just, you know, see who's bigger and who's got the more horsepower. And you would cruise. And then you would meet up at a stoplight. You would meet up or whatever. And sometimes challenges were made. And then you would take it to a back street and you would just go for it. It's kind of like, you know, when you see those American Graffiti movie or.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, American Graffiti.
Right.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. Like you would really get into it. And the cops knew exactly where the kids would be. The cops knew like, okay, this is a Friday, Saturday night. And they would just show up and they would hassle you to no end. It was like a game of cat and mouse. It's like they'd pull you over for a taillight or if you didn't have a light on your license plate, or they'd pull you over and just jerk you off. And then if you didn't have legally, you're supposed to have a trash bag in your car. So you'd get tickets for no trash bag in your car. Just
no trash
stuff.
Bag.
That's a new one. I never heard it. But what was the trash bag for?
Just for trash?
Are you that stupid? You got a job. You got a job interviewing people and you're asking me that.
No, I'm just curious.
He's never heard of it. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I've never heard of this fucking trash bag thing. Well, let me ask you the question. It's all new to me.
What's a trash bag for?
Sig, we're not greenhorns on your fucking ship.
I'm familiar with it. I don't work for sanitation. I'm just asking why you would get a ticket.
We're the host of a show, and you're our guest. Treat us with respect.
I'll probably be the first guest to ever get kicked off your show. What is a trash bag for?
You're supposed to be my friend. What are you doing?
It's for putting dead guests.
You guys are knuckleheads.
We're not knuckleheads. We never heard of having to have a trash bag in your car. And I never had cops pull me over and then jerk me off.
What rule is that?
Oh, my God.
It's a rule, so they have something to give you a ticket for.
Yes.
Is it a trash bag is for trash because you're not supposed to throw the trash out the window.
Oh.
Yeah, I never heard of that. So they're just making shit up to give you a ticket for.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
No, it's illegal law. What the hell else did they bust us for? I mean, everything under the sun. You name it. Just stupid stuff. But it was fun. And it was a game of cat and mouse. And then the game was to find a place to race outside of the police, out somewhere on a back road where you could get away with murder. You know what I mean? It was a lot of fun. And it was when I bought the Mach 1, it was, that car had, I remember when we built the engine, actually one of the guys down here in Seattle that he now has a mechanic shop to rebuild your boat engine, right? So this guy was genius. He helped build that engine. And I remember my old man saying, what are all these parts laying around in the house for? And you can't, so I got all these, the pistons were, I think they were 10 and a half, 11 to 1 compression, all these fancy parts. And I remember I paid my dad, and he bought the parts to get a tax write-off. You silly father. But he didn't want to buy all these fancy parts. And he did, unknowingly. And I was hiding them in my room. And then when it came time to put the engine together, that engine, I think at the time, I would say at least 400 to 450 horsepower. So that was cool. That was great. But you had to mix the gas because you have leaded, unleaded gas. So it was pinging because you didn't have enough high octane.
Oh, sure.
So they were 11 to 1 pistons. So you didn't have the octane.
So during this time, what was the craziest thing you ever did? Like during this time, with all the gas pinging and everything else in the trash bags, like it sounds like a wild time, in your life.
It was fun. It was fun. I remember, with that car, I remember, every day was race day. We put nitrous on. This is 1981 or 82. I was one of the first guys in the neighborhood to get nitrous oxide.
Oh, wow.
So now it's commonplace, but back then it just came out. And so I remember we put the bottle in the car, and it had every option: fold down rear seat, clock on the dash, all that good stuff. It was the coolest car. I wish I had it back. You know what I did with that car? I gave it to my brother. I went fishing. By the time I was 18, I gave it to my brother, Edgar, and then he ends up driving it around. He parted it out. He was buying weed on all the parts he sold. I'm not kidding. He fucking smoked my car is what he did.
What about the nitrous oxide?
And I remember I came back from Alaska after like 6, 7, 8 months. Where's my car? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, what the hell?
He sold the parts and bought weed.
He smoked it.
Chips Ahoy. It's Chips Ahoy now.
Yeah. So then, I had NOS on the car, nitrous. And then I can remember I had my buddies in the back. It was a fold-down racer. We jammed a bunch of guys back there. And I can remember going over, it's called the Ballard Bridge. So we went over there. And when I hit second gear, it was an automatic, but it was really, what do you call that? 2,500 RPM. What the fuck do you call that? Anyway, when you shift it, it would rev up the RPMs to launch. And when I hit it, I remember the front wheels came off the ground, and I was going over the bridge. And when I finally got the car down and we're doing X amount of miles, I was in the opposite lane and lights coming at me.
Jesus.
I know. It's pretty cool. And And everybody's swerving, and we could not stop because, you know, those cars had disc brakes. They were drum, and it sucked. It was a piece of shit. And how are you going to stop a rocket with no brakes? You're not going to stop it. And I remember guys practically fucking drove off the bridge and hit the guardrails. And then I finally got into the right lane where I'm supposed to be. Yeah, and we survived. I mean, it was so bad.
This could be a movie called From Trash Bags to Airbags. Something like that, right? This is, it's something, man. The nitrous oxide, the car gets parted out for weed. I mean, yeah. You know, this is crazy, man. So have when you were talking about L.A. and the people driving the cars there, have you been there? Have you had any interactions with people there? Like we butted heads because it's a different type of life there, man, a different culture, right? I mean,
you know, I remember I had it is. And that's fine. I get it.
You're in showbiz in a way. You're in showbiz. So you must have to interact with these guys at some point. And it's a certain people, you know, there's a certain kind of personality out there. So I'm just curious, like you're kind of very, you know, you wear it on your sleeve. Have you ever butted any heads with anybody, anything like that?
I haven't driven down in LA, you know, but I've been in the scene, if you want to call it that. Uh-huh. I remember the first time we went down there when the show started and everything was cooking and it was all fun. And what's his name on Friends? You know, the guy,
Schwimmer?
Not Ross, the other one.
Matthew Perry.
Was it Matthew? Yeah. One of those guys was driving in a Porsche or something. I thought it was the coolest thing I ever seen. It's like, you know, and they, of course, you know, Discovery Channel, they treat us well and they, you know, they pick you up in a fancy car at the airport and you get, you know, red carpet treatment, all that stuff. And then you're going through there and you're going to go promote the show, whatever you're doing. And I'm fish out of water, obviously. And you're going through downtown and you see all these people and then all of a sudden you see, you know, these guys that have this image that are on television and they're driving around these fancy cars. You're like, what the hell? Like, you know, it was like fantasy land or something you see on TV, but it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big change real.
From what you're used to. I mean, you're used to a kind of a more earthy kind of living, you know, it's more real. And then all of a sudden you're in this fantasy land. I mean, that must have been an adjustment.
Right, but it's real. I mean, but that's their reality, so I appreciate it. I understand, you know. It's like, what's his name? I mean, I've done, like, Jay Leno. I've been on Jay Leno, like, 5 times. Uh-huh. Super guy. And he's a super car guy. This guy, he's just insane about his cars. And it's not a facade. I mean, he lives, breathes automobiles. And I love him for that. Yeah. And same thing. He does his gig, and he's good at what he does, obviously. But his passion and his true self is the automobile.
Mm. Yeah, and he definitely loves cars, that's for sure. Drives a different car to work almost every day.
Right, but he'll go into his office, and he's got video playing live in his shop. And I've been to his shop twice. I've been to his collection 2 times. And he's such an amazing guy. But anyway, he's watching his videos. Every truck, every part, anybody that goes in and out of that place, he's watching on the video. He'll call these people half a dozen times a day. What part showed up? What's going on? I mean, he's that in tune with what's going on. Uh-huh. And it's pretty cool stuff. So you see stuff like that. And then you go, you know, and you do the show, and he's got his parking spot, or he used to. And then, he's got, I mean, it could be a Dusseldorf. It could be a Mercedes. It could be a motorcycle. You don't know.
Yeah, who knows what it's going to be. Yeah. He parks and right outside where you have the little after party there in the room. He parks right outside there.
Yeah. And then he'll what he does is he'll drive to work in his vehicle. And then on the way home, he'll stop by. And it's like at an airport or whatever. He's got these big hangars. And he'll go in. And he'll choose the next one, grab the car, go home, and drive that to work, and then does that every day. Like, change it out every day. It's just awesome. I mean, what a life. Huh. I'm jealous.
Huh. Well, you could got do the... that if you weren't out at sea for so many months of the year.
Yeah.
I think you could do it anyway. You've done well, haven't you? You got all these endorsements. You're selling crab meat on Home Shopping Network?
Okay, yeah, no more Norwegian champagne. Now, you know.
Actual real champagne. But right? You like the Norwegian stuff.
Oh, this FaceTime audio is awesome. I can hear you so well. We did a best-selling book. I got to be in Cars 2, you know, as the voice of Krabby the Boat.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, no shit. Know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. We've done stuff at Walmart, you know. We've sold products in grocery stores and this and that. We've done a lot of stuff.
Don't you have a coffee product?
But that was tough to get off the ground. But you know,
that one didn't work.
It's like I've got just as many failures as I do winners, and I'm not complaining. I like the fact that I get to use my brain in other ways. The fishing thing, that's natural to me. And now I get to see how the other people live and what it takes to actually get a product on a shelf and actually, you know, make it work. And it's not easy. There's a lot of competition out there. So yeah. It makes me appreciate
no matter what it is, no matter what that product is, there's a lot of people trying to do it.
Exactly. So, you know, I feel like, Jesus, I have the best life ever. Not just because of my family, but because, you know, fishing, there's a lot of politics as well, but you know, it's pretty simplistic. You go out, you do your thing, and then you come in and you sell your product and you're done. Right.
Mm.
And, you know, where the 9-to-5 guys, he's got this calendar and a schedule and, you know, salesman. I mean, holy shit, what a life that is. I feel sorry for
you
him.
Get
I mean,
to do somebody, what you love. So that's great. You get a lot of people that can't make a living doing what they love, and you've been able to take it and run with it.
Yeah. I mean,
the first step
obviously
is like, I think seeing outside of what presents itself as a possibility, the possibilities to people, you know, if you have a vision or you're inspired to do something, I think it allows you to see past what a lot of people accept as what their limitations are.
Yeah, and a plan to actuate it, you know, make it real.
Yeah, if it's like something that you want, then that allows you to see past like, all right, I'm going to finish school and I'm going to get a job, whatever that job might be. But Sigurd was like fishing since you were, you know, you started as a young man.
Right, but the lifestyle is so up and down. There's no guarantees. There's no retirement. There's no, you know, you see what I'm saying?
It's like comedy.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
It's like caution to the wind. Just go out there, you know, and a lot of these actors are the same way, and it's their passion and blah, blah, blah. It's really, you know, you really got to have guts to do it because there are no guarantees.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, guys, I lost one of my best friends here a couple of weeks ago. The boat destination went down. And when they sank, I mean, the weather was 25 to 30 gusts. Little bit of icing, but I don't think that was the problem. Super crew, super captain. He's been in there for 4 decades. They know their shit. Jeez. And you know, the owner of the boat, I mean, it was pristine, like my boat, the Northwestern. They're old, but we keep them pristine, and they went down. And you're thinking, holy crap, that could have been me. And we still don't have answers why. So it's like you take those risks, and what's the reward? I mean, maybe the reward would be better if you were a 9-to-5 or you had security or you had a retirement plan or whatever you want to call it. But
the
you
reward
see what I mean?
Wouldn't be better, but the risk would be less.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that makes your life better. I don't know. But all I can say is, you know, being a young kid and living, I mean, outside the box, if you want to call it that, it's still today, you know, I'll be 51 here in April. So and I'll be a grandfather this summer. And you see what you've done in the past. And I can tell you, I got no regrets. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
That's great, man.
Yeah. And it's part of probably all these risks they help you feel alive. You know, ironically, the threat that something could happen. But there's probably a juice with that when you're out there doing what you love doing, and it gives you an extra, you know, taste for life.
Yeah, I think once you do something that's outside the regular realm and you make that your life, it'd be very difficult to go back. It'd be like climbing back into a box after you fought your way out. You know, at least you feel that way.
And then it's almost like, well, did I just give up or something? Or did I just succumb to the everyday, you know, whatever you want to call it, the values or whatever, everyday. Yeah, I mean, people look at it like, well, this is normal, the everyday norm. Well, who the hell are you to say what's normal? Fuck you.
Everybody has their own normal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Sagar, I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
that's
it was... You know, they're gonna start a fun for the guys, and it'll be on the Fisherman's Memorial, and, you know, we'll raise money for them, of course. And it's just sad because, you know, we've got a new system now. It's an IFQ, which means it's a quota system where the guys know what they'll get before they go. So the race is not there. But at the same time, you know, bad things can still happen. And it just shows that... you know, that industry is going to be what it's going to be.
It's a dangerous job.
Yeah.
Well, that and anybody that goes out to sea. I mean, my hat's off to anybody that goes out there, you know, for whatever they're fishing for. It's just the way it is, you know.
Did so the captain make it?
Nobody made it. I mean, everybody died. No, oh, six guys gone. And they didn't have time to get out of Mayday. There was not even a radio transmission, so it went fast, and hopefully so.
Does that happen? Yeah, does that happen? I mean, I think pretty much every season of the show, somebody is lost, right?
Yeah, it's been, you know, the last few years we've been really fortunate because we've been you know, because of the new system with the quota system, but it just seems like there's always some catastrophe, and that's just how it is. I mean, look at us. Last year we had a fire on the boat. Now, had we not caught that when we did, she'd have been engulfed in flames. We'd have lost the boat, period. We caught it soon enough to put the fire out and get everybody back to land, but... You know, it's just there's so many different variables of what can happen, and so... You just don't know. And it's like, for some reason, it to me, at my age now, and when I look back at what I was how I was behaving then versus now, it makes sense. It's like, you don't give a shit. And it's almost like you're a cat with nine lives and you just don't fucking care, you know? Because you would, you know, you were racing cars and just being an asshole, and then you go out to sea, you know, it's no different. It's very, it's normal. Yeah, and it's not, like, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's normal to our industry.
Right.
You know?
No, see, it's crazy that it does happen so often, because I remember when we all met, maybe I had met you guys at Upfronts or something, but... When we really hung out was when I hosted After the Catch that year.
That was fun.
That was so much fun, dude. I'm so glad I did it. I made, you know, became good friends with a handful of you guys after that. And it's always good to talk to you guys and see you guys. But there was a very heavy day there, one of the days, and they sprung it on me. I didn't know it was going to happen. And they brought on the captain and the couple guys that survived the Katmai.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And, I mean, I just really got a taste of, like, holy shit, man, this is real stuff. These guys, I think there were 11 guys on board, and the only three that made it were there with us. Huh. And we're talking to the captain, who was a very young captain who had just lost. I mean, it had just happened a few weeks before.
Right, right. No, it's reality check, right? You know, it does.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to brag about. It doesn't make you like more of a man or whatever to say that, because the reality is, you know, we brush it under the rug and I don't like to talk about it. And I've lost more friends than you could shake a stick at. Mm. And a military guy could probably say the same thing. But for some reason, this one just hit so hard because he was like, you know, a brother. And maybe I'm getting older, but I just took it way hard, super hard. And
we also had a few seasons where things went well and you weren't expecting it.
Yeah. And it's like, God damn, that can happen to me. And then, you know, my wife's like, okay, you're done. Like, what do you mean I'm done? I got a little, no, you're done. Come home.
We got a little more. We got to meet the quota. Well, what do you do now?
Well,
what was his name, Sigar?
What's that?
What was your friend's name?
His name was Jeff Hathaway, and he was going to retire in a year or two. And this guy was legendary, you know. Like, people see the show and they look at, you know, Phil and John and Keith and all these guys. And, of course, they're superstars. But, you know, he was one of those guys times 10 in my mind. I learned from him. We fished together for many, many years. So we did cod, crab, all that stuff. And this guy was my mentor, so to speak. I would look up to him. And he was one of those guys where he'd make a decision and he's like, screw those guys. I'm going this way. And, you know, it's like he made decisions. And there's followers, there's leaders. He was a leader. And he's one of those guys that just, he's from that old school mentality, you know. And if I compare him to some of these jerk offs today, you can't hold a candlestick.
Yeah. What?
No offense, jerk offs, but.
Yeah, jerk offs today. Don't be offended. Now, in your life where you are, because it's like you've mellowed from the life in the fast lane a lot, mellowed somewhat. What do you do to blow off steam? Like, what do you do on land to blow off steam? What's your other side?
Besides trying to screw my wife at age 51, yeah. It's not easy.
Well, you can include that.
I go in the hot tub, remember?
The hot tub, yes.
No, you know what? We bought a lake house here in Seattle, and so that's like the new thing. That's like you know, you got a ski boat, and that thing is so cool. I've been really conservative. You know, uh-huh. It's not like I go out and buy fancy cars, and I'm not an asshole anymore. you know, you pay off your house, you worry about your kids, and all the money and the college and all that stuff, like anybody else. But now I see life a little different. So I'm getting, I think what's happening is I think I'm on the verge of the middle-age crazy, kiss my ass, and if I die tomorrow, I'm going to spend it before attitude.
Uh-huh.
And so we bought that place up there, and this thing is, you know, it was an ex, I can't say the name, ex-football player kind of a thing, and they Joe lost Montana. Their ass. Yeah, I mean, this place is just amazing. And so he, you know, because of the rut with the economy, he lost his ass there, I think. And I picked it up, sung and a dance, and then put some money into it. And it's practically brand new. But I'll go up there. I got the fancy boat, the jet skis.
All the toys.
You name it.
All the toys. Dude,
seems to always come back to the water for you, man.
Yeah.
You like to be awesome. Out on the, you like the water, huh?
But I mean, like the boat, like we'll take like Mandy, you know, she's the youngest girl, and Nina. We'll take Bo. He's Mandy's dog. So my finest moment is going out on a lake with the dog by myself and maybe have a Norwegian champagne and just and just treasure it. And then, you know, when we get the kids up there and their friends, and then, you know, this thing, you can tank it down. So it's got like a computer on board. You can just push the button to any weight, any wake, anything you want, and it'll flood the tank. So like the kids are surfing behind the boat. So you'll run the boat and you'll have a surfboard and you let go of the rope and they're surfing behind this thing, it, you know, at like 10, 11 knots, and it'll do that and they can surf the whole lake.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's the new thing. Or you can water ski or, you know. It does everything. And I just, that's like, you know, believe it or not, I'm a humble guy. And that's the one time I can swing my dick around and feel like I'm the cock of the block. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, when you're out there with that boat.
Yeah.
I want to see
even
that
the
boat,
sheriff. Man. Guys, the sheriff that comes on there and they're like, okay, you belong to the lake. I don't even have registration numbers on the boat. He's like, I don't care. I know you belong to the lake. I'm going to go give tickets to the guys that are launching their boats that are assholes that are coming on here. Like, you're fine.
Oh, is that because he knows you from the show?
That, and because he knows I know my shit, and right. because he'll come in for a cocktail at my home. and then go out and bust everybody else.
That's the way law enforcement gets inspirement.
Trust me. I'll inspirement him with a little red cup. That's awesome.
Hit him with that Norwegian champagne.
Are you going back out? Are you going? Isn't OP season coming up?
No, we're just finishing up. Eddie's on the boat right now. Yeah, he's on the boat right now trying to finish it up. Like I said, I had to come home for a bunch of different reasons. And Edgar, it was his turn at the helm, if you want to call it that. And so he's just going to finish up here, hopefully this week, and then bring her down.
Cool, man. Well, yeah. You guys made your nut this time out or no?
Yeah, it was a slow go, but I mean, Edgar will finish it. We'll get her. It was just a pain in the ass. I mean, it was a lot of turmoil, a lot of bad weather. And, you know, that's the one thing about the show is like, you know, it is a true documentary. You can call it a reality series, but that's bullshit. And you'd never know, you know, and I fucked up so bad. I thought that, I was going to be a smart guy and get ahead of the fleet and go way north. And, you know, it was nothing. I was hauling blanks. I mean, it was just the most degrading thing. But so I had to backtrack, and it took us forever to catch up. So it was, you know, I mean, you got to throw it out there, right? You got to take a chance.
Yeah.
Risk reward again.
Right.
You got to make your kinda choices like that. and then go with what comes.
So anyway, after I had the Mustang and my brother smoked my car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I go to Alaska, and then I'm making real money. And then I buy a Corvette. Nice. Now I think, because I couldn't have a girlfriend to save my life. I thought,
yeah, that's an LA car, man.
Yeah. I thought I was it. And it was a cool car, but it just didn't, they don't have a lot of good traction. The back end would pop out on you anytime.
They're all over the place. If you really step on it, the back end is all over the place.
Yeah, this was like an 82, 83 model, and I thought, all right. And they're just all over. So, and we live in Seattle. It's always wet roads. And I remember this one time at band camp. So I might have had a cocktail. I'm not clear on that. And a guy pulls up, and he's in a Trans Am. And that was like brand new. I'm like, go fuck yourself. And then we look at each other. You get the nod, right?
Yeah.
And I knew who he was. And so anyway, or we may have just left a bar. I don't know. Hypothetically, that could have happened. And I remember we went down Edmunds Way. And it's a long stretch, and there's a sharp corner at the end. And so we get on it, and I'm ahead and keep going. And then I forget there's this sharp corner, a turn. And so rather than hit the brakes, I slammed on the brakes. And so I thought I was winning until the car starts doing a 360. And by the time So you're doing about 100 miles an hour. By the time the car decides to stop spinning in circles, I hit the sidewalk. I took a chunk out of the sidewalk. It looked like a bulldozer took the sidewalk out. Went through a fence. It looked like the bulldozer ran through the fence. And then there was an embankment, probably about a 30-foot drop. And when the car flew through the air and went through these trees, and you could see like all these brush and trees, and you could see where the car went through all these trees, and it was like a funnel. And then when I landed, I think that car flew minimum 50 feet, if not more.
Goodness,
Jesus, so, Tim.
Yeah, so when I landed...
You're lucky to be alive just from that.
I know.
And that's when you use your trash bag as a parachute.
And then, the cops pull you from the wreckage. And they're
right. Nah, fuck the cops.
There's so no trash bag in this car. It gets you for that.
The only thing the only thing that saved my life was I landed backwards. So, you know, when the car hit the ground through the trees and I hit backwards, obviously it throws you into your seat, right?
Right.
And so I busted the seat out. And it went back into the back of the car, and they're fiberglass, so it's shit anyway. And then the car looked like a teepee. It looked like you took the middle of the car and you jacked it up. It looked like a teepee. It was bent in half up.
Wow.
And every wheel on the car was broken out. So it looked like, you know, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something, you know. It was like fucking every wheel was just gone and broken out. And the car was up, you know, like a teepee in half. And I remember.
And you were in it still.
I was in it and I tried to drive out of there. So I may not have been
in a teepee with sideways wheels.
Yeah, it was.
I'll just drive away. Everything will be fine.
It was so bad.
Got to drive side saddle.
But I remember the headlights still worked, and I thought, well, I can drive out of here. Not happening. And I got out of the car, and then thank God the guy I was racing, to be nameless, turned around, and he picks me up, and we go like down the street because he had a girlfriend at the time, and we call the cops, and the cops were like, well. Why did you leave the scene? And I go, I think I'm in shock.
Wow.
I think, in my professional medical opinion.
Well, that's pretty clever. That's a pretty clever statement.
Pretty clever statement and probably true.
Yes.
And then, I knew better. I was probably hammered. But then.
You weren't in shock. You were shit house.
It's that rat poison shot.
Why do you think I left the scene? I've been drinking rat poison all night, you stupid cops.
Exactly. So then she's like, well, can you come in shock? I think I better wait right here. And then I remember the next. So we stayed at the girlfriend's house. And then that morning, so we drive by the scene. And there's a crane truck, like these large trucks with this giant boom crane.
Yeah.
And they're pulling the wreckage out of the woods, you know, where the car had landed.
And there's an American Indian family is like, our house.
Yeah. Guys.
Dude, it looked, you know, like those wrecking yards where you see, you see those metal things that pull up these old junk cars and throw them around. It looked like that. It was just so bad.
It's just mangled, huh?
And I remember I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get a ticket. I think I got a speeding ticket. And then, and that was it. I couldn't believe it. No. Could not believe it. Yeah.
Got away with something there, buddy.
It's like it's stories of babysitting money gone awry.
Adventures in babysitting with Captain Sig
Hansen. So bad. My buddy had a Nissan. I think it was a Nissan or one of those Japanese cars. And then we drove that. And we had been at a disco or a nightclub. And we were partying. And I remember he let me drive. And I remember we got up, and this thing was like a 5-speed, and I throttled it so hard that the tranny blew. When the tranny blew, you know, it put a hole in the concrete about 2 feet wide, about a foot deep.
Damn.
The whole thing blew down. Shit. Had it blown up, it would have took our legs off. And I remember Eric's like, you motherfucker, you blew my car. I said, no, you were driving. What? No, you're I'm not driving.
The tranny blew. Now that means something totally different here in the street in New York.
That and the cruising.
The car was on fire. It's in the middle of an intersection because we did a Brody through the intersection. It's on fire. Flames, smoke everywhere. All of a sudden, there's like four cop cars shows up.
You guys are arguing about who was driving.
Yeah. And we're arguing about who was driving and we're getting into a fist fight practically. We're rolling around on the ground and the cops are like, you two idiots, just go now.
They just let you go.
Is it clearly in shock?
But they're not going to get an answer out of a couple of knuckleheads. Yeah. So we proceed to walk home. And I remember I walked home and he tried to get home. I think we were like I don't know, 18, 19 years old at the time. He tried to get home and then he passed out and he wakes up the next morning and some old lady's like, you know, Granada and at some apartment building and she's got her cane and she's rapping, you know, she opens the door, she's beating him with this cane.
He just
get
went
the hell
into her
out
car.
Of my car.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, man.
I left the bachelor party one night. I was leaving. My friend had a big bachelor party. I was leaving. I was driving off. And I'm on my way home, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I think maybe I was supposed to give my buddy a ride. So I go back to see if he's there, and I go, and I look all through the house. He's not there. There's two guys there, the one that lives there and the one who's getting married.
Yeah.
The two guys that are still supposed to be there. I'm like, man, where is my friend Jeff? Can't find him. I'm like, oh, he must have gotten a ride. As I'm leaving, again, I go out the front door. Something distracts me and turns my attention to the left, and I look, and there he is asleep between the shrubs and the house. I'm like, oh, shit. So I drag him out of there. I can't wake him up. I drag him out of behind the bushes and pour him into the shotgun seat of my car, drive him to his house, which was still his parents' house at the time. He was still living at home with his parents. Open the door, drag him, you know, grab him under his arms and drag him, his ankles, heels dragging on the grass, up to the front porch and just lay him down on his stomach on the front porch and just beep the horn and drive off. So his mom come and open the door like, oh, there's my son, face down on the porch. I have no idea how he got there.
FedEx. Dude, I used
love
to
have... some old lady didn't know was beating him with her cane, though.
I used to have that old Jeep. You remember that old Jeep?
I remember
the green
your Jeep.
One?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had this green Jeep, and I'm in Brooklyn, Sig. And it had a... I decided we're going to run a soft top on it, right? We're going to run it... Just keep the soft top. We got rid of the hard top or whatever. And we parked it on the street.
Right.
So that fucking car, somebody started breaking into it. Like, and when I say breaking into it, it's a Jeep, so they just fucking unzipped it. You know.
You're thinking if you have that, people just leave it alone.
Yeah,
oh, there can't be anything in there. Yeah.
I wouldn't leave anything in it. And then it would just take random shit, like annoying stuff, like the owner's manual or change or like the seat cover, just like random shit. So it happened about 7 times. So I'm getting a homicidal, you know, like, and I'm trying to catch whoever this is. I'm like, right. You know, so I got like a baseball bat by the door. I'm waiting at night, you know, and I can never catch him. So my wife wakes me up one morning, Sunday morning. She's like, oh, I went out by the car. There's a dude in it right now.
There's right? a dude in the car
dude
right
in the
now.
Jeep right now. So I'm like, it's that fucking guy. So I go down and get the bat, right? But the bat is gone. It's in the car because I was like, I went and bought weed one night in some shitty neighborhood and I had it with me, right?
And
so
you the left bat's it in the car.
Yeah. Shit. So I'm like, ah, whatever. So I'm like, I'm still going to the car. So I'm like in my pajamas, go out to the car. There's a bike leaning against it. That's it's got a, it's, you know, when kids ride the bike, like banana seat bikes or whatever. And it's got a license right. plate that says Baller on it, right? Lean against the car. So the guy's in there, sleep, right? Young kid. So I try to open the door. Door's locked. So I knock on the window. So he rolls down the window all slow, like halfway. And he's like, well, you know, what hopping? I'm like, well, what happens? You're in my car. And I think we lost Sig. Well, you're in my car. So, you know, he's like, so he rolls the window back up. I'm like, dude, you know, get the fuck out of my car. And he's like, what, hopping? So I'm like, get the fuck out of my car, bro. Get the fuck out of my car. You're the dude that's been robbing my car. He's like, no. I just fell asleep. I passed out. I need somewhere to crash. So he gets out. All this shit from the car starts falling out of his pockets, like headphones, like all this. I'm like, dude, you're the guy. You know, so I start to like grab him. My wife comes out. She's like, I'm calling the cops. He goes for her. So I go to grab him. He ducks under me. Gets on his bike and rides off. Now, we're 2 blocks from the precinct, right?
Right.
Call the cops. They come like 5 minutes later. They're like, what happened? I'm like, this dude, you know.
You tell him the story.
I tell him the story.
He had all your shit from your Jeep
in his
pockets.
He had my shit in his pockets. So wherever he's on a bike, he's gone. But, he, you know, whatever. This is the dude that's been robbing. So they're like, all right, get in the back. and go. So I get in the back. We take a sharp right turn. I look, there's a pile of vomit from some like previous perp or whatever. So it's sliding over. And these guys are cruising through Brooklyn. They're like, they get a call that this kid's like in the Red Hook Project. So right turn, this vomit keeps coming over. I'm like, oh my God, you can't get out of a police car once you're in the back. You know, so I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. Get down to the projects. They caught this kid. I think he's like 23, something like that. They put his bike in the back of the car. They can't close the trunk. They're like, we got to go to the station, fill out the form. Apparently, this is like, he's been arrested like 42 times, right?
Jesus.
This young. So I'm like, oh my God. So we go to the precinct. They leave the bike in the car. I go in. They got me filling out this paperwork. And the guy's like, so what did the perp say to you? I'm like, I don't know. He said, wahopping. And he's like, well, could you write that down? How do you spell that? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, what happened? So and he's like, what else? I'm like, he said, wahopping twice. So put squared. All right. So
what happened squared?
Basically, they're like, go get the bike from the back of the car. They tell one of the other cops, go get the bike from the back of the car. I'm filling out this paperwork, whatever. The cop goes out, comes back in. He's like, the bike's gone. Somebody stole the fucking bike out of the car in front of the police station. It's so Brooklyn, right? It's
Holy
just so
shit.
Brooklyn, right? So he's like, the evidence is gone or whatever.
But they had the guy inside.
They had the guy. They had the guy. So then we... You know, they call me to work it out. It's fine. I don't really press charges. I'm like, just if, you know, keep this fucking kid out of the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
So it must have been a few weeks later, Hurricane Sandy hits Brooklyn. And my wife's shop is in Red Hook, right? So, boom. She's like, we got to go down and see what the damage is, right? So we go down to Red Hook, 7 feet of water. And this is how bad it was. There was a boat that had floated in front of the door of her place. This is a Brooklyn street, right? There's a boat.
Good you God. Know? I can't even imagine.
So we got to move the boat. We get in, you know, clean it out. You know, it's all day work, all day work. And it's Hurricane Sandy, so you can't get gas anywhere. Can't get gas
anywhere.
Yeah,
I remember shortage. That part of it.
So after we do all that, we start driving home, run out of gas. In the Jeep.
Oh, no.
I'm totally out of gas. Like, cook, right by the projects, right? I'm right by the projects. I'm like, oh, my God, this is such a shitty day. You know, 7 feet of water, this happened, that happened, whatever. So I'm sitting there, and there's this old dude sitting on a crate, right? Like, right across me. I'm just looking at the car. I'm like, fuck, whatever. And he's like, hey, man, looks like you ran out of gas, right? I'm like, yeah. And then he hits the garage door behind him like the Fonz. You remember how the Fonz used to
hit
the Coke machine?
Yeah, hit the jukebox.
Fucking door goes up. He's got all this shit in there. And he's like, want to buy a bike? And there's that fucking baller bike, dude, in the garage. Like with all this shit. There's like a guitar, you know, drum set, some shoes. It was
Did
just,
you buy it?
Oh, I didn't. I was like, dude, I just need some gas. But I couldn't believe it. It's like
dude,
a fucking
baller bike in there.
With the license plate, man.
That's freaky that there's somebody like living or more or less trying to live in your car.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That would freak me out. Are we going to get Sigur back on the line here we can at least say, I think that's going to be it. It's been an interesting
hopefully didn't
show.
Drink any more of that fucking champagne in the interim.
Yeah. Sig was our first
guest
really
that was
drunk
lit.
Guest. Let's get him back on the line. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, my God.
See if he wants to finish his story or tell another one.
Curse you out.
You're a fucking nerd. Like, what? What is going on? And then I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, right.
Sig's drunk. All right, we're calling back Sig
right
now.
Get ready for the abuse.
There he is. Welcome back, Sig. What's up?
See, I told you FaceTime is irreliable.
It's for nerds.
Irreliable, inspirement. We're making up words this episode.
I love that word.
You know, the last thing I heard was you said something about they took your top off and this guy was sitting in your car. You're going to beat him in the head with a baseball bat. Now, did you?
No, dude. It was a
no,
long...
No, he got away, the guy.
The guy got away.
But the cops caught him, right?
The cops caught him. It was a long story, but we kind of did it in the interim. But basically, it was just kind of an amusing kind of Brooklyn story of like, I can't even.
A dude stole the bike and like got away on the bike. The cops arrested him, but then someone stole the bike
from the cops.
From the cops.
Yeah.
So the evidence was gone that they were holding him on or something. And then, like, years later.
Well, no, it was just it was a few weeks later, actually. Then the Hurricane Sandy happened, hit Brooklyn. My wife's job was, like, destroyed. We went to her place. It's, like, 7 feet of water. There was a boat in front of the door. This is on a Brooklyn street, man, so I guess you can appreciate, you know. And we ran out of gas after cleaning it up right by the projects, and there was a dude there, and he's like looking at me. He's like, "You ran out of gas?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he opens up this garage. He hits it like the Fonz. The door slides up. He's like, "Want to buy a bike?" And there's that fucking bike again, man, with the baller license plate, man.
Like, not that bike.
Yeah.
Not that thing. That
thing's caused enough trouble.
Has any one of you guys ever stole a cop car?
No.
Not that I remember.
I would remember that. Dude, did you do that? That's what we need to start the show with.
Been there, done that.
Oh, shit, bro.
I'm not kidding. How does that happen?
We were at a party up in the North End, and we were doing our thing, teenagers, of course. And
North End is Seattle, Sigur?
Yes. So we were doing our thing, and cops invaded this party, and they crashed, like you see in the movies where they, you know, knock down the door and come in and you're all fucked up. And, then I remember a guy, John. It was me, John, and a guy named Wade. We ran in the backyard. And we jumped this fence, and we're hiding behind the bushes, and we could see these guys just ravaging this house and going through there and busting all these kids and just freaking out. Everybody's screaming, and then Wade's like, "You know what? We got to get out of here." And I'm like, "Yeah, but our cars are on the other side of the property. We can't get to them. Everything was blocked off." So one of the cop cars was kind of on the side in the front, and he hops in. Fires it up and goes.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's awesome. So you're in shock. You're riding shotgun.
Why not? We got out of there, and just like a block or two, whatever, and then ditched it, and then just hightailed it on foot, and then waited for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours to get our cars out of the scene. But
you guys don't fuck around unscathed. In Seattle, right?
God damn.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this is a while ago. This is not now. Nowadays, you got to wear sandals.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know.
Watch out for your trick hip. You don't want to.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's all about, I got to be nice, but God, I want to just. And now they have bicycle. They got like bicycle lanes and, and tofu. Hemp presses and, yeah.
Right. I remember. When I was in college, where a bunch of my friends all lived in this big old house, and we would just sit around on the porch and drink. And so we're all sitting out there one day, boozing and drinking beers, just talking shit, hanging out. And one of the guys that lives there rolls up on this piece of shit bike. Like, it's all painted one color. It looks like it was painted with a brush. It's like, it's just a piece of junk, you know? And he's like, "What do you guys think of my new bike?" And he's wasted, you know? And we're like, "It looks like a real piece of shit, man. Where'd you get it?" He's like, "I stole it." And we're like, "Why'd you steal such a shit bike, man?" And he goes, "Because no, I figure it's such a piece of shit, nobody will want to steal it." We're like, "Well, that's probably what the last guy was thinking."
Yeah.
Shit. And now he's wondering where his fucking bike is. I've seen bikes get stolen. I was in the city one day. I was driving the cash cab.
Yeah.
We parked. We got out. We were planning our next move, whatever we were going to do. This guy rides up, parks a really nice, kick-ass mountain bike in front of this little deli.
Uh-huh.
Goes inside for like 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds for real. And in that time, a dude runs up, jumps on his bike, and fucking bolts down Broadway.
Wow. Wow.
And a dude comes out. He's like, "Where's my fucking bike?" He's asking everybody around, like, you know, he had hired us to watch his bike. I'm like, "We didn't know it was your bike, dude.
We thought it was a courier."
I tell you
hurry.
Which way the guy went. I watched him. He went right.
Dude, you know what?
You
now?
Know what's so stupid? How much do those cost? I bet you those crazy. Bikes cost what?
$1,500 sometimes.
$2,000?
Yeah.
That bike cost between you. $1,000 and $2,000, probably.
But why do you do that? What do you need that for?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know those.
I mean, are they that much better?
Do you guys have those city bikes in Seattle? Those like
the blue bikes?
Oh, I've seen those in New York. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we got those.
I don't think they've gone that far. They got the electric car thing now. It pissed me off because you try to get good airport parking, and every one of those assholes takes my parking spot, so I don't like it. But
we didn't get priority parking at the airport there.
Oh, yeah.
I have an electric car. I'm going to drive out there and take your parking spot.
Oh, my God.
It's going to take me 2 months to get there because I got to stop and charge the fucking thing up all the way.
Oh, shit.
I'm just being silly. I like electric cars. I get it. So.
Oh, dude, some electric cars are pretty awesome.
Well, those city bikes in my neighborhood, the kids from the projects keep stealing them and painting them gray.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you see these gray bikes going around. It looks fucking hilarious, right, man.
But the electric car has more torque, right? You talk about horsepower versus torque. I mean, they will kick your ass from stoplight to stoplight.
No way. Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no moving. There's no chain reaction that has to happen. You just go.
Yeah, it's throttle on. You're there. So I'll give my hats off there. But I still like horsepower and I like big engines and noise. So yeah. I will never.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
To the day I die, I'm sorry. You know, you can save the earth. I get it. But
you want a big, loud engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
I bet that boat you've got is pretty loud.
We'll burn about 800 to 1,000 gallons a day. You know, and that's what it takes. And that's a little boat, but
it's,
you know,
a speed
and I'm not
boat.
Saying
fast
that's what it takes, though, you know?
Save the earth and all that. We'll burn 1,000 gallons
saying,
of gas in one day.
Come on, every goddamn
just
truck driver
fun.
Will agree with me. You got to have fucking oil. You got to have. You have to have it. And I know we're going into a really touchy subject, so I'll just stop where I'm at. But
just wear some wool shoes. It'll even it out.
You got it. Oh, by the way, did you guys know I'm the only guy that ever got hired and fired by our new president?
I was going to ask you about it. I thought about it. I remember you were on Celebrity Apprentice, right?
Yeah, he hired me. He fired me.
Now, he normally doesn't do that. He just fires people.
He just fires people. But think about it. I've never been fired in my life, so that's the only time that I've been fired. So there you go. Well,
that's good. When you work for yourself, you don't have to ever have that happen again.
Stuck on that one all you want. I'm telling you,
you're going to fit in with the rest of his cabinet. Yeah, right. Hires and fires them one every day.
Yeah.
He thinks it's
that's my claim to fame. I got fired by the president. fuck you.
What's next for you, Sig? What are you doing next, buddy?
Oh, my God. I think I got to be careful. I think I want to keep the show going. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be great because that's just a beautiful thing. But, you know, there's got to be a movie out there, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, I love
gotta
it.
Got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be.
A Deadliest Catch movie.
Not that I would be in it because I'm too ugly, but you know, I think Brad Pitt would be, you know, a good Sigism. I think he'd.
You mean to play Edgar?
to Edgar?
Oh!
No.
I stunned you. I didn't think it could be done.
Ah, that hurt so bad.
You were like Edgar. No, to play me. God damn it.
Oh, shit.
Brad Pitt playing Edgar? Come on. He's more, who's the guy? He's more like Jimmy Kimmel or something, isn't he? I don't know. What is Edgar? He's more
Jimmy Kimmel's not really an actor. He's a
well,
talk show host.
Physically, what's the Edgar guy?
Who would be an Edgar? You know, who would be Edgar? A movie star. Who's the ugliest fucker you can think of?
Is that you now? What'd you say?
She's just like, oh my God, shut up.
Oh my God, shut up. What are you doing to your brother?
You know what? I love my brother, and he's been really, really good to me. I mean, since last year when I had this little heart issue, he's been really good. He's really, it's like, I don't know, like there's no tension. Everybody's aware, and they're being nice, and it's driving me nuts. It's like, why are you fuckers being nice?
Like, who are you people?
Yeah.
Where's my fucking crew? You guys being so fucking nice. Six has a little heart thing. It's a heart attack.
Oh.
It's a full-on heart attack. Scary stuff.
I'm glad you're well, Sigur, and I appreciate you coming on the show, even if you were shit-faced drunk. I started yelling shit at me as soon as you picked up the phone.
It set a precedent, man. That's set a precedent, though.
Only sea captains can be drunk.
Exactly. Actors, we don't allow to do that shit. Sea captains, it's all right, man.
That's the good thing about my position. It's like I can get away with murder because these guys, you know, if you're an actor, you're supposed to be all protective about your image, where we don't care.
You're supposed to be like, surly whatever. And fucking rah, and call people fucking nerds and stuff like that. You're supposed to be like that, you know?
Well, I'm glad you're okay, buddy. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're in from the cold Bering Sea. And I want to dedicate this episode of Tall But True to your buddy Jeff Hathaway, man. Sorry you lost him.
Yes,
man. Oh, that's very nice. Oh, by the way, we were talking about cars, and I know you're running out of time, but we never did talk about the time we were with you in a limo in New York. What about that?
Oh, yeah. You stole a car that night. These guys, Sig and Jonathan Hillstrand, were in New York, and we got together. And I'm friends with Kevin Dillon.
Uh-huh.
And he's owns part of this bar called the Macau Brewing Company. So he called ahead and said, hey, Ben Bailey and Sig and Captain Sig, Captain Jonathan are coming in, give them the royal treatment. So we went in there and they just like gave us the royal treatment. So we were in there for 2-3 hours. And when we came out, we were ripped.
Yeah. Rat poison ripped.
I don't know if we were quite rat poison ripped. We were feeling a little better than that.
Right, but you had your trash bags ready.
We had our trash bags ready. This car had its legal supply of trash bags.
Sweet.
So we came out, we had a limo. There's a car service for us.
Yeah.
And because we had done some Discovery Channel thing earlier. I can't remember.